Welcome to Test Don't Guess, the podcast created for unlicensed health practitioners who love chatting about functional lab testing. I'm Jensen, your host. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, developer of the HTMA analysis app, and creator of the Instant HTMA professional course. But here, I'm just your curious colleague who wants to know all about the functional lab tests that you're using, how you learn to properly interpret them, and how incorporating labs has impacted your confidence and your practice. In this season of Test Don't Guess, we're going to talk with practitioners, course creators, and lab experts to help you navigate the world of functional testing, and I am super glad you're here. Remember, this is a podcast intended for learning purposes only, and it does not provide professional legal or medical advice.
I think we're going to do something a little different today with the podcast than we've done normally. It won't necessarily be a typical interview, but I thought this was just a perfect thing because with our communication via email, I just felt like we aligned so perfectly. Like the things that you were saying about testing, I was like, she gets it. Like she totally gets it. Like yeah. We just align on this. And so I was thinking that we would just talk about the top four things that we wish that we knew when we were first getting started as new practitioners, the top four things that we wish we knew with regards to functional testing, because obviously we could go into like the top 100 things that we wish we knew. Yeah. So I know this is going to be a really fun conversation, but before we get into that, can you give us a little bit of a background on yourself, your practice, who you work with, and how you got into this?
Yeah. So I came into it a little bit differently, I think, than most practitioners that I've talked to, in that a lot of people come into something like the NTA with like a desire to heal themselves or to find answers for themselves. And really at the time, I felt pretty good about my health. It was more my husband, who I've known him since we were 12. And he's always kind of, once we hit high school, he started having these weird health issues and he'd be hospitalized. And I'm like, what is going on with this guy? And then we got married and I was able to really understand like the health challenges he was having. And they seemed so unique, especially for a man. And, you know, as we went on through our marriage, it was like he kept having these health things pop up. And I'm like, something has to be done. Like nobody's listening to him. Mm-hmm. I remember the final straw for me was he was offered antidepressants and they essentially just told him that maybe he was just depressed. And that was devastating for him, because I think for men, it's hard because they don't like to talk about this stuff anyways. And so for him to be so open and then be told that it's all in his head was really devastating for him. And so I just started kind of doing my own research. We started with a Whole 30, like maybe 8 or 9 years ago. It was a long time ago. And it totally, I mean, that was the first time I realized, oh, I didn't feel as good as I thought I was feeling. And so we really started paying attention to like nutrition and lifestyle. And I really had to start advocating for him and his health. And by going to the doctors, asking questions and really pushing. So for him, it was a huge driver, was him. And then our oldest daughter started, I homeschool. And so I noticed that she was not reading like as quickly as some of her peers were reading. And so we went and had her tested. I thought she had dyslexia. It ended up being ADHD and learning disabilities associated with being like severely right-brained, because she's left-handed. And so realizing that like, okay, there's things that we're going to have to do differently with her. And so she was also another driver where I'm like, how can I nutritionally support my daughter's health in the best way that I can without putting her on medications? And so for me, I kind of went into it for them and not so much for me, but then realized how much of an impact it had on my own health, you know, making these diet and lifestyle changes and focusing on the foundations. So as soon as I was done graduating and as I was going through the program, I knew I wanted to do this like for a business. I knew I wanted to work with clients and work with other people and just really help them advocate for themselves, really help them find answers where they were not getting answers anywhere else, and like validating their feelings and actually helping them to feel better. So I kind of just like hit the ground running. I wasn't sure who I wanted to work with or what kind of client I wanted to work for. At first, I thought I wanted to work with men because, you know, my husband was such a huge driver. And then I'm like, yeah, I don't want to work with men. Like, I don't want to have men messaging me all the time. Like, that was too stressful. So then I've just kind of bounced around a lot. I really got into fertility and pregnancy because I just kept thinking, like, where should we start? Or, like, where should people be starting? And I just kept going further and further back to, like, no, this all starts in the preconception period. And so I really dove into fertility and pregnancy for a while. But what I found was I was still attracting women that were just like me. And so I kind of shifted my focus again at the end of 2023 and was like, okay, I just need to start kind of communicating to women that are like me. Because again, being in like the perimenopause age range, things are changing. And I mean, I feel great. I mean, I don't think I'm experiencing a lot of symptoms, but I just like that fear where I'm like, okay, I need to get my health right, because I'm just like the preconception phase. Like I feel like in your late 30s, early 40s is like another unique window of opportunity for us to really get our health dialed in before another massive transition happens in our hormones and our health. So lately that's been a little bit more of my focus, because that was typically like 70% of my clients were still like me and 30% were fertility and pregnancy. So yeah, that's kind of been my focus lately. I think there's maybe a tiny gap as far as like education. I think my age women, we were not taught how our bodies work. We were all put on birth control pills. And so I think the younger generations, like 20s and 30s, they get it like we didn't get it at that age. And so I really feel like there's an opportunity to speak to women my age and kind of show them like there's still a lot we can do, and menopause doesn't have to suck, and there's still ways of taking care of our health. So yeah, that's kind of been my focus. And then still kiddos, because I do still see some kids in practice, because I am a mom and I do have that experience behind me of taking care of them and the unique challenges of having kids with ADD and ADHD and those kinds of things. So I kind of see a wide variety of clients at the moment, which I like. I don't like being put in a box either. Yeah, and that's kind of my focus, is just kind of, moms, I guess.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Were you able to use any of these functional tests on your husband and get to the bottom of things?
Yeah. So I've ran pretty much everything on, not my youngest daughter. I'm getting ready to do a GI map on her, but my husband and I, we've both done GI maps, Dutch tests, HTMA, blood work. For him, HTMA was the most insightful, I think, which I thought was really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So he had like copper toxicity. What was a couple of the other things that we were like, oh my goodness, here it is. And that's another reason why I just love different testings for different clients. Because I'm like, this, the HTMA ended up being the one for him. And so doing a custom Vicon blend for him helped move the dial most than anything, more than the GI map even.
Oh, that's great. All right. So let's get into this. Let's start with the top four things that we wish we knew about using functional testing when we were first getting started. And so the first one that I felt like was just so pertinent is that it's not helpful to bring in clients using testing if you don't feel confident that you can create an effective protocol. So talk with me about that. This is such a common thing. I feel like it's really easy when you get into the world of testing to get like overexcited and to just be like, oh my gosh, this is so interesting. I want to run this on like everybody I know. And then you get it back and it's all interesting, but then you're like, wait, what do I do with this information? Have you had that happen?
Oh yeah. It's really the main reason why I started working on that Dutch guide was just for my like mental health, I think. And I think the key there is like that you don't feel confident. And I think that with getting a test back that maybe you've already done like a course or some education on and you're feeling kind of excited and confident, and then you get a test back and then you have a real human being sitting in front of you and you're like, I want to do the best I can for this person sitting in front of me. And they're not typically fitting into the boxes that you learned when you were in school. And I feel like that is kind of the recipe for imposter syndrome and burning out, is that feeling that, okay, I don't feel confident now, despite my learning and despite my excitement. Now, all of a sudden, I don't feel confident and I'm spending a ton of time. And I definitely did this, so many hours poring over reports and poring over my notes, like from the courses, and reaching out to colleagues or friends that I had in the NTA, like, what do I do? And realizing like how much time and effort, and then still kind of feeling very shaky about all of it. And I think ultimately what I had to realize was it was okay to just start testing without having like a ton of confidence behind me, and without having the entire test figure out, and without having like this beautifully curated protocol every single time. Because the more tests I ran, even with that lack of confidence, I started to become more comfortable. And you do get more experience the more you just kind of do it. And so I think just learning that, like, it's okay to not feel confident and to try to protect your energy and protect your time by just taking the test, like a test at a time, a client at a time, starting slow if you need to, getting the experience, but just knowing that you're probably not going to feel super confident and it's okay to still use testing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever found yourself feeling like everyone is speaking a secret language? Trust me, I have been there. I vividly remembered feeling major imposter syndrome as I saw practitioners throwing around terms like GI map and mycotox profile and HTMA test. And I'm thinking, did I miss something? Turns out the more seasoned practitioners knew something that I didn't know. They knew that as holistic health practitioners, we are able to use our certifications to get access to various lab companies so that we can use all kinds of different lab testing with our clients that will ultimately help guide our recommendations. And side note, this made my data-loving brain so excited. As someone who color-coded their own blood results in a massive Excel sheet for years, I knew I was meant to use lab data with my clients. But then the questions hit. Which lab companies accept unlicensed health practitioners? And what tests are even available to me? How do I learn to interpret the lab results? How does it all work? And so that's why I created the ultimate free resource that I wish existed during my own quest for these answers. Just DM me the word lab guide on Instagram at testdontguess or click the link in the show notes below to instantly access our totally free unlicensed practitioner's guide to functional lab testing. This is the resource you've been looking for if you're new to functional testing or you want to make sure that you're aware of the different options that are available. So grab this guide and you'll be able to navigate the wild, wild west of functional lab testing like a seasoned pro.
And so how did you get started with testing? What was the first test that you learned?
So right after the NTA, I went straight into Restorative Wellness Solutions. So I learned the GI map test first and wish I would have started actually ordering tests when I was still in the program. I think I felt like I needed to get through the whole program first and really understand it all before I dipped my toes into it. But that was the first test I learned. And then I went from that level right into level two. So I knew I wanted to do functional testing and I just started, you know, getting through all the courses. So I did RWS level two. So the hormone, that's when I learned the Dutch and saliva hormone testing. And then I did HTMA next. And then I did blood chemistry was my last actual real course that I took.
Okay. Did you do the RWS blood chemistry?
I didn't. I wish I did. I didn't do theirs. Now I'm like, I should have just, my original plan was to do all four level. Then I kind of veered off course a bit. And so I didn't. I plan on doing RWS level three though.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
How do you incorporate those labs into your services now?
Yeah, so I typically, this I kind of learned the hard way also, is I would learn a new test and I would get really excited and every new client that came through my door got the new test that I had just learned. And so I kind of had to learn like, okay, I have to take a step back. I do kind of structure. I have some one-off sessions, but I'm trying to limit those to only a few a month. And then I'm trying to just work within packages because I really do feel like there's value in having somebody with you for 3 to 4 months versus just having like a test review and then trying to move forward. Some tests that's fine with, but tests like the GI map, I really want to work with somebody more long term, especially depending on what pops up. So typically, if I was just to say like an average client coming in, I would typically start with like GI map and blood work. And then the Dutch test, I love the Dutch test. And so that one kind of depends on the client. So if I have a client that already has a really great diet and lifestyle, already has their stress semi-managed, they're moving their body, their, you know, food doesn't make them feel bad, but they have hormone symptoms. Like maybe she's in her 40s and she's starting to notice changes. I may start with a Dutch test with that client and then just kind of go from there. But typically, if it's just a client that does have like stress, maybe isn't eating quite as good as she could be, or maybe she's not eating that much at all. She's kind of just like grazing on naked carbs throughout the day. Her stress is a level 10. Usually I'll want to sit with them for a little bit before jumping into like something like a Dutch test, even if I know there's hormone symptoms there, just because I think the foundations are key there and hormones can be a symptom, right? So I typically will kind of start with those things before jumping into a Dutch test. So I think GI map, blood, HTMA are all great starting points, and then doing the Dutch when it's needed.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this leads us into our like point number two of things that I wish I knew when I was just getting started is like, you don't have to run all the tests all the time. And you also don't always have to start with the same test. Like you can, even if you have a standard where you're like, I typically want the GI map and blood work. But if you're seeing it different with the client, it's like, all right, let's switch it up. Like, and that's one of the beautiful things about learning all of these different tests. But I guess I want to speak to if we have any listeners that are just getting started and they have only learned one test or they're trying to figure out what that one test should be, that it's okay to just have the one as you're getting started. You don't have to become trained in GI map, the Dutch, the blood chemistry in order to start taking clients, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what speaks to that, where it's still just all about bioindividuality, right? Like every client is different and every practitioner is different. I know really successful practitioners that only run HTMA and they don't run anything else. And then I know level four RWS practitioners that will still refer out for certain clients. So, I mean, I think we're all just so unique and our clients are all so unique. And so, you know, if there's a test that like you're really drawn to, or you really only have the capacity to learn one test at a time, that's totally fine. There's so much you can do, like especially foundationally, and that test gives your client answers. It gives them buy-in. It gives you a product that you're offering somebody, gives them answers. And yeah, so I definitely don't think you have to know all the tests. And I know a lot of practitioners that feel that way. Like, well, I don't want to get started until I've mastered, you know, four different tests and I can offer all these things. And my advice to the new NTPs or new practitioners when we talk is like, just get started. Like whatever lights you up and gets you excited, and you'll figure the rest out as you go.
Yeah. Did you have a similar experience as I did where you were maybe struggling to get clients before you brought in testing? And then the testing, I know you just mentioned that it's kind of a product that they can purchase. Has that helped you grow your practice?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it could just be the confidence on my end. Mm-hmm. And I do love data. I'm definitely more of like a data nerd. Like I want to see information, but I did struggle a little bit. I struggled with just communicating exactly what I had to offer when I was just speaking about like nutrition therapy and working on foundations. And it really did change once I had an actual test to offer it. Then it just kind of like took off from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like it just became so easy and like, what's the word I'm looking for? Natural, casual to bring up what I did in conversation with people. If I was talking about testing as opposed to just like talking about nutrition, because it, for me personally, it felt like when I would mention that I was like going to school for nutrition, that people would be like, oh, you're going to be the food police with me now. Or they would say things like that. And I was like, no, like that's not my goal, obviously. And also we're at a party or whatever. Like I'm not trying to judge what you're eating. But it's like as soon as there was something that I could offer where it's like, oh, that could be an imbalance in this certain thing, this certain marker, whatever. Oh, that usually aligns with a certain marker on this test. Because I think people are so used to, I mean, testing just in general, like they go to the doctor and a lot of times we're leaving the doctor without any answers, but we still don't feel good. And so to have that other thing is so nice to be able to offer. Like this test will give us just some additional insight. Is it going to diagnose some crazy disease? No, that's not what we're looking for. We're just looking for information, puzzle pieces. Those are all like the terms that I tend to use.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, same with me. I mean, it definitely in the beginning when I would try to talk about what I did, I felt like I was doing a good job explaining like, oh, this is what I do. And then I would hear my friends, you know, talk about me to other friends or like in group settings. And they're like, oh, she can do a meal plan for you. And I was like, oh, boy, like I'm not doing a great job here. Like I actually don't do meal plans. But yeah, it definitely gives you topics to talk about, especially with the Dutch test, because that's such a hormones are such a hot topic for women, and they want to see, like, even just curiosity. I have women come to me that, you know, don't have like really gnarly or really wonky symptoms, but they're like, I'm curious. Like, I want to see what my hormones look like. And but yeah, it definitely does. It makes it a lot easier to share what we do. And then obviously it makes the work a lot easier too, because you do get that buy-in from people where they're like, okay, I'm working towards something. or like, I know what this is. And yeah, mm-hmm. it definitely makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there a certain test that you find helps people the most from that aspect where they like, they see something and it helps them make the changes the most?
Yeah. I mean, I see that a lot with the Dutch test, just because most of my clients are women. And then I have worked with a lot of fertility clients, and I've worked with a lot of women that are around my age. So they're in their 40s. They're in that like perimenopause range. They're noticing changes. I think I like the Dutch just because I think most women don't realize how much of an impact stress is having on their health. And they just assume like, well, maybe it's I have too much estrogen. So how do I fix that? And so I like the Dutch because I can see their hormones, but I can also see how stress is showing up in their life. And I think HTMA and even blood work can do the same. It can really kind of give you that peek at like, hey, this is how your nervous system is doing. And this is how like stress and cortisol is showing up in your life. And so I do like the Dutch for that, just because I think most women will can connect to that idea of like, there's something wrong with my hormones. The GI map is super powerful. I think it can improve so many different things when it comes to someone's health. But sometimes it can be a little bit of a harder sell to clients, especially if they're not like overly experiencing like gnarly digestive symptoms. Mm-hmm. You know, like typically it's the women that are like, I'm really constipated, or I'm alternating constipation and diarrhea. I can't eat anything. I have all these food sensitivities. It's easier for me to show them a GI map and then be like, okay, yes. So even if I think like, oh, I want to work with digestion with this person, sometimes they're so caught up on their hormones and I'm like, okay, let's just see what this looks like. But I think the stress is a big thing, especially for women, is I like being able to say like, you're functioning at a 10 out of 10 and you're burning the candle at both ends, and it's going to be really hard to balance your hormones and experience like the health that you're looking for if we can't figure out a way to slow down and manage some of this stress.
Talking with clients about the GI map and the Dutch test, just because they are more expensive tests, do you have any tips on addressing that with them?
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one. I have found that sometimes is my own perception of this test is going to be too expensive. And then whenever I have actually talked to a client like, hey, this is why I think the GI map would be helpful. This is what it will show, or this is what a Dutch test will show. There typically isn't a lot of concern about price. Mm-hmm. At that point, it's like they want the answers. They're ready for support and they're ready to make the investment. I think things like blood work and HTMA are a little bit easier to start with, just because the price point is so much better, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can get more like broader information than like a Dutch test. You know, those blood and HTMA can show a wide variety of things. So it's definitely easy to talk about those in that way, because you get a lot of information for, you know, sometimes three times less the price.
Right, right. Yeah,
but a lot of times that conversation of price, I have found that it comes more from my insecurities about how expensive it is versus the client.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Very true. So point number three that we have is don't stress about every single marker, which I think is very key when we're looking at these tests.
Yeah, especially in the beginning as you get started, because some of these tests are intense. Like the HTMA is only 2 pages. And I was just like, there's so much information here. And how do I connect it all? Yeah, I found that out pretty quickly, especially once I was done with each program that I took and started like using testing in the wild on real humans, was that not everyone fits nicely into any of the boxes that I learned about or any of the case studies. And it's so easy to get stuck in the weeds of that data and the desire just to get it right for our clients and get them quick results. But sometimes, especially in the beginning, it's fine just to kind of like take a step back and look at the bigger picture, see what foundations you can support with clients for the things that you're seeing, figure out what the big patterns are with each of the tests, and then figuring out what supports you can start with. I mean, I think it's always fine to err on the side of like slow and low. Mm-hmm. And then as you get more experience, as you see these tests more, as you see what works with your client, then you can kind of like hone in on those very specific things that do matter. But in the beginning, especially, I think stressing about every single marker gets you stuck. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where you end up spending hours on tests, and then you start getting burned out and start questioning every little thing. And yeah, there's so much big picture things you can get even from like a Dutch that is like 6 pages long and is packed full of information. You can still take like that bigger picture look at it in the beginning until you get more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And not just marker chasing, because I think a lot of times we'll see of course, the things that show up as really high or really low or something is like, oh, I have to fix that one thing.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. We have to be looking at these patterns. Like, that is the true beauty of these functional tests. It seems like all of them, it really comes back to patterns, and that you can't just look at that one single marker, because that single marker is probably dependent on other markers, and
yeah,
that it really all comes back to stress and that we need to be looking at stress. And if we were to retest, things would change, and that it's not about like taking a single, like a supplement for each marker, where it's like, we're going to do this for that and this for that. And it's like, no, we have to look at this big picture.
Yep. Yeah. And how the bigger picture ties into what the client actually coming to you to fix. And then also those foundation.
Yeah.
It's kind of tying the whole picture together. Yeah.
Yeah. When someone sends me two HTMA tests and asks why they haven't seen much change, my first question is always, are you using Vicon? Vicon is the supplement company that I truly can't stop talking about inside our Instant HTMA professional community. And here's why. With Vicon, you're able to customize a supplement blend based on your client's HTMA test, complete with the client's name printed right on the label. So no more generic solutions or piecing together massive, complicated, and expensive protocols. Practitioners love Vicon because it wipes out supplement fatigue, which leads to real, tangible results. And clients love it because it's so simple to take, whether they choose the powder or the pills. And most importantly, they're able to experience the magic of getting the right nutrients along with crucial cofactors for their body. All you have to do as the practitioner is choose a base formula, customize it using over 25 different properly sourced options like extra potassium or liver support. And you can even whip up a custom prenatal or support breastfeeding moms. The possibilities are truly endless. And then just to make sure that the blend is perfect, you can always set up a quick consult with the amazing Vicon team, and they are happy to help. So if you're ready to revolutionize your approach to supplementation, grab our free Vicon guide and sign up for your own free Vicon account and let them know that you heard about it from Test Don't Guess. Check out the link in the show notes to get started. Let's talk more about that. That is point number four, tie the testing to the foundations. I think this is just such a huge topic.
Yeah. And I love the foundations. And I think at the beginning, especially when I was doing all the continuing education for all the testing, is I got like swept away with functional testing and all these really interesting, like intense, unique protocols and supplements. And I kind of felt pulled away from the basics when I first started using all these tests in my practice. And I really had to like almost take a step back for a couple of weeks and like breathe and just like pause and go back to what I learned at the NTA. And it's actually, I ended up at that point when I finished all these programs and kind of feeling really overwhelmed with all this information, is I actually was a course mentor for the NTA because I just so deeply needed to like reconnect myself to the foundations, and my brain was just feeling so just overwhelmed with all this information and really had to like remind myself that this is where the magic happens for people. And that with testing, we do get like such a unique opportunity to go deeper and to really find answers sometimes for the first time for some clients. And really like target, like we talked about earlier, the right supplements at the right time and not having somebody DIYing or like guessing at what these things can be. But really it's like those foundations are so important, and they just, clients will not heal if they're stressed, if their digestion is wonky, if they're not sleeping, if they're not hydrating, like all these basics that we learned about, the best protocol in the world may not work if these foundations aren't. And so it was, yeah, I just really had to like take a step back and be like, okay, wow, I just took in a lot of information. I learned all these really crazy, cool tests and like all these new supplements, but I need to go back to like the basics and remind myself that like these foundations are where change really happens.
Yeah. And I was looking at the services that you provide on your website before we got on this call. And yeah. I noticed that the clients that are working with you on like a longer term basis, they get access to like an 8-week program. Is that something that helps with the foundations?
Are you talking about the Well Balanced, like the group program?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So the group program is a collaborative thing that I do with another NTP.
Okay.
And so but it is very foundations focused. And so, yeah, that is the goal. We do incorporate some functional testing in that program, ideally, if I could start everybody with like an 8-week foundational and blood chem and HTMA, that would be like the dream, right? Like, let's get you all, especially having that community aspect that a group program brings. But yeah, so typically, like with just my one-on-one clients, I always have a discussion about foundations, and we kind of go through each one. Obviously, the ones that are like the biggest thing that I can see from, you know, their intake and their food and mood journal. Like a lot of women, I'll get their food and mood journal. It's like 20 ounces of water through the day and like 40 ounces of iced tea and coffee. And I'm like, okay, we need to sit with this foundation. Some clients I've had have been younger and don't, like when I asked them, you know, how are you cooking your vegetables? They were like, I don't cook vegetables. I don't know how to cook. And so I'm like, oh, now we need to sit with the diet and the nutrition part for a little bit longer. But yeah, I like starting with functional testing with my clients if I can and they're open to it. I always will, just because, like you said, let's just like hit the ground running. Let's see what these patterns show us. Let's find some imbalances and some dysfunction that we can focus on. And we work on the testing as we're working on the foundations.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you can tie things back to the testing so that you can show the client, here's where I'm seeing that, or, you know, you already saw in their food and mood journal that blood sugar is probably an issue, but then you can show it to them in the test too of like, this also shows me that we really need to be focusing on blood sugar and here's how we're going to address. And it seems like it clicks with them in a different way than us just saying, hey, we got to focus on blood sugar, you know?
Yeah, because for some women, they're like, what does that even mean?
Right.
What would I be feeling if my blood sugar was wonky? Because sometimes women don't notice those feelings of like blood sugar imbalances. And so being able to show them on a test like blood or HTMA is nice. And then they're like, oh, that's what that is. Like, this is why I feel grumpy or tired at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Or this is why I'm waking up in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being able to tie it together, I think, is just so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually have an episode coming out, or I guess it will have already come out when yours comes out, but where we talked with Vary about continuous glucose monitors.
Yeah.
And I feel like that can be so, so helpful for a client where if they're wearing it and they maybe didn't understand that those certain feelings were actually related to their blood sugar, they can like notice in the moment, like, I'm feeling anxious, but they didn't realize that it was tied to their blood sugar until that moment. And so there's just so many awesome tools available to us right now. And it's such an exciting time to be in this field, I feel like.
It is. Yeah. And you just wish you could just run them all and do it all with every client.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's just commit to this full on.
Yes, I know.
Run every test. I know. And there's some people, you know, I don't know this as a fact because I'm not an FDN, but I feel like I've talked with FDNs and it seems like a lot of them will have a part of their program is they start with like literally everything. And I just think sometimes people don't know that they need all of that. And so it can hinder people that you could really help jumping in. And so I love that you're offering sometimes a single consult, but obviously working with somebody for a longer amount of time is very beneficial. But sometimes you just need somebody, they just need to like get their toe in and then they realize like, okay, this is really making a difference for me, you know?
Yeah, I think it's still just meeting clients where they're at. Like some people aren't really sure maybe exactly what we do still, but they know they want some support, but like that bigger commitment might be a little scary. And so, yeah, being able to offer some of those in like a less of a commitment maybe can help somebody. I've you know, sometimes I'll get people that come in for a single session and then they kind of go away and I'm like, oh, I saw so many things we could have worked on for so long. But really, for the most part, I think once somebody is in and they start to see changes, it's easy to keep them working with you. You know, they want to keep moving forward and keep like uncovering layers and continuing to do like that deeper work.
Yeah. Do you like to do retests on the GI map in the Dutch?
You know, I always just, it's just different for everybody. Sometimes I will tell them from the get-go, like I have a client with some pretty, her candida, I mean, all of her candida was high on her GI map and she was having some pretty significant symptoms. And so for her, we talked about it and we decided that retesting would be best just so we can keep an eye on it. She wants to see if the candida is going down and some things are improving. And then same thing with the Dutch. Like sometimes I'll have clients that will feel really great after we do a protocol for a few months. And so they don't feel the need to retest at that time. And they know it's always open. Like, hey, in the future, if you want to check in on stuff, we can retest a Dutch. It's nice with both tests because you can kind of, you don't have to do a full, like a full test again. You can just do adrenals if you wanted to do the Dutch. Or with the GI map, you could just do an H. pylori panel if you wanted. So I try to be mindful of people's budget still. I mean, in a perfect world, I would retest every 3 months just so we can see, like, you know, I think seeing improvement can be helpful. Seeing if maybe we did stir something else up can be helpful. You know, sometimes it's like you do a protocol and then H. pylori gets higher and everybody freaks out. But it's like, well, the work that you did caused H. pylori to come out and now we're seeing things we didn't see before. And so it's hard because you don't want to send a client off into the world now with like elevated H. pylori that's going to cause them trouble. And then they're like, what happened? So yeah, in an ideal world, I would retest everybody. But sometimes clients don't always really feel the need to. And so I try to just honor that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this has been super helpful for, this will be super helpful for the listeners. So basically what we've come to, the top four things that we wish that we knew about testing when we first got started are that it's not helpful to bring in clients using testing if you don't feel confident that you can create an effective protocol. That number two, you don't have to run all the tests all the time. And you also don't have to do the same tests first every time, that we can definitely structure our services in a way that it can be flexible per the client. Number three, don't stress about every single marker and marker chase with our protocols. And then number four, tie testing to the foundations as much as possible, especially in the beginning when we're getting started.
Yes. Yeah.
So thank you so much, Renee, for coming on.
Thank you, Jensen. I appreciate it. It was fun.
All right, that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining. You can find me at Test Don't Guess on Instagram or testdontguess.org, or you can check out the free private Facebook group called Test Don't Guess Functional Lab Chats to go ahead and continue this conversation. So until next time, always keep learning and stay curious.